Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal, Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And, I'm going to set a pick, clear a lane, and let Brian dunk on the Oakland Athletics ownership because, boy, this is tailor-made for you and I to not be happy.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's got everything that we dislike. It's owners being greedy and not paying for ballparks. It's got teams leaving their ancestral home, as it were.
A dedicated fan base,
and just awful stinky commissionership by the league. And it's so sad. I mean, today the Oakland A's announced that they have entered a binding agreement with a zoned area in Southern Nevada, just west of the Las Vegas Strip, where they're going to be constructing a major league ballpark and moving out there by presumably 2027. And maybe earlier, depending on how toxic the situation gets in Oakland in the meantime.
Well, it's just, yeah, because they had been ostensibly negotiating with the city of Oakland. And I'm sure you've seen the Oakland mayor's comments following this announcement.
Yeah, saying that they are stopping all negotiations and talk, which... Honestly, if you want the team to stay, that's probably the best way to go about it, because now that you're taking away all the leverage, right? If they're saying you're not allowed to stay here anymore, we're going to kick you out pretty much immediately, and they have no place to go with the team, then like it's a little bit of leverage. I mean, I don't know. It's all politics and negotiating, which is a shame because it's being done over at what should be a national trust, a public utility, more or less.
Sheng Tao, the mayor of Oakland, the direct quote that I saw: deeply disappointed the A's have chosen not to negotiate with the city of Oakland as a true partner in a way that respects the long relationship between the fans, city, and the team. Yet it's clear to me the A's have no intention of staying in Oakland, have simply been using this process to try to extract a better deal out of Las Vegas. I'm not interested in continuing to play that game. The fans and our residents deserve better. I mean, kudos to Sheng Tao for holding strong on this, particularly because this is a situation in which the ownership has been trying to extract a lot of money out of the city of Oakland at a time when no cities have a lot of money for new stadiums.
A really, really long time. And Oakland doesn't have, like, Oakland is attempting to revitalize itself through a variety of different means. It was a city that was hit particularly hard by the pandemic. And they're trying to rebuild themselves. And you know, the ownership, Fisher, was asking for all kinds of ridiculous things, and he was asking for money to build the whole ballpark, and then you know, money on top of that to build infrastructure around the ballpark, and was just asking, you know, you knew he was going to keep all the profits for himself, right? He was asking for close to $1 billion worth of public money at one point in time, and was never ever going to put that money back into the city ever. And I know there are some people out there that argue that it brings more value to a city, but the A's and Raiders have been in Oakland for a precipitously long time, and that hasn't really upped the value of anything in Oakland. Both of those stadiums are not enhancing anything around them.
Yeah, the A's moved from Kansas City in the 1968 season. I mean, the Coliseum, the Fisher and co have allowed that place to become dilapidated.
I mean, they essentially major leagued the city of Oakland.
Yes, actually, you're right. The you're talking about the plot of the movie Major League, where they try to be so terrible that they have to move.
Yeah, they put the team in a terrible stadium, and they make the team really terrible, or attempt to make the team really terrible. Well, except the Oakland A's managed to do it. You know, and I'm disappointed in Billy Beane for being a part of it as it's happening. You know, I thought he had a much higher standard than that. You know, it's shameful. It's disgusting. And all it did is hurt the fans. It's awful. I mean, there was never, you can tell by this, there was never any intention from Fisher and Company of keeping the team in Oakland. They've been chasing.
They've been linked to Fremont and to San Jose before. And then I think only after they kind of got nowhere with those two places that they turned back towards Oakland.
I think the A's fans were mostly pretty okay with both those places, because it was
at least within.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't Oakland.
No. No. And I mean, like, but this isn't, unfortunately, this is nothing new. Right.
But, I mean, this is like the Atlanta situation.
Every single owner that Oakland has had, other with the exception of Walter Haas, since they moved the team out to Oakland, including Finley, has desired to move the team out of Oakland. And it's Oakland's a baseball town, and I don't get it, man. Oakland is a baseball town. And not only that, like, they've been crying poor as a poverty franchise for so long. I want to know which team sell. When you take a look at hat racks in places that are not North America, do you want to know what three teams that they tend to have in those hat racks?
I mean, the Yankees is number one.
The Dodgers. And the Oakland A's.
Really, number three.
You want to know why? Moneyball.
Really?
Moneyball's an incredibly popular movie worldwide. People love it. And A's merch sells out around the globe because of that movie. The A's are not a poverty franchise. Oakland has been on some hard times, but that doesn't mean that they're not there. It's not a good city, and those fans don't deserve a team, because they've been there through some really hard times. And this is, I don't know, man. Not only does it remind you of the movie Major League, but it's very reminiscent of the Expo situation. And on top of that, like, the league's facilitating it. There was previously a $1 billion relocation tax that's now apparently being waived, because I don't know why. There's no good reason given. Why would they waive it? Because they don't want to be in Oakland anymore? It's such a sham. I don't know.
Yeah, that aspect of it, and the, like, kowtowing. I mean, obviously we know that the commissioner carries water for the owners, right? Because they're beholden to the owners for their job. So of course, Rob Manfred is going to be like, I mean, the quote he had to the Review Journal today was, we support the A's turning their focus on Las Vegas and look forward to them bringing finality to this process by the end of the year. Yeah, like, of course he's going to carry water for the owners. That's his job ultimately. But it's, yeah, like you said, entirely reminiscent of the Montreal situation, and that, that mysterious fee disappearance is like, it's like a fake penalty, I think, right? Like, the owners are never going to charge themselves this kind of money.
It's only,
it's to like prevent people doing what they don't want each other to do, but none of them have a problem with a team going to Vegas because they want more of that gambling money.
Yes. I mean, I think that's exactly it, right? Like, I think it's there to prevent, you know, a sale to an owner like a Steve Cohen who has FU money that moves a team to a, from a city that they, to a, you know, into a market that they would rather them not be in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you it's know? Like, and it's like just, a cap on like where things can go.
Yeah.
If it's they a don't cartel. Like it, but yeah, I mean, this is the thing, the, these owners, this is thanks to the largesse of the US government and the court system. They have monopoly powers. They can do this. They're a cartel.
Bernie Sanders was right, man. Bernie Sanders was always right.
Yeah. This, if ever there was a time for him to show up on Tipping Pitches and talk about this, this is,
yeah, Bernie Sanders going Tipping Pitches.
Yeah, we're going to stump for that too. I mean, as a loyal listener of the Bench Jockeys, I'm sure Bernie will finally agree to go into Pink Pitches because we mentioned it. Yeah, no, this is a really unfortunate thing. I invited our pal Connor Milligan on to talk about this. He hasn't gotten back to me, but I think that's because he's just probably weighing whether he's ever going to be an A's fan after this. He's of course the host of Dagwood Radio on Wednesdays here at the station, and we had him on when we did our Moneyball rewatch during the dark days of COVID shutdowns and no baseball.
I just feel so bad for the fans.
Especially, I mean, if you're a sports fan from Oakland.
Three teams in 5 years gone.
Yes.
Through no fault of the city at all, right? They, like, on two of them, there was no negotiations. The Raiders were always going to leave because Mark Davis is an absolute... something that I probably don't want to say because of defamation reasons. But Mark Davis is not a nice human being and did a lot of not nice things and is a weasel. A Bobby the Brain Heenan level weasel. And Joe Lacob was never going to keep the team in Oakland either because he always wanted to move the team into his backyard for Silicon Valley sponsorship. And if Fisher and the A's never were going to end making this work in Oakland, which is exactly what it's seeming like, that there was never any intention in operating in good faith to keep the team there, then these poor fans in Oakland will have lost everything, all of their major sports teams in a matter of years, 5 years, half a decade.
Yeah. And like just, like a gut punch if you're a sports fan from a city, like, I mean,
well, that's it
for Winnipeg.
You're just not a sports
fan. Think how you felt like when the Jets left. If the Jets and the Bombers and the Goldeyes had all left within 5 years,
you just wouldn't be a sports fan anymore. I think that's it, right? I think you just give up on sports entirely. You go, okay, that's not for me.
This is, I can't put my faith in these things. I can't invest my time in it because it's,
I read some...
show no. I mean, this is the. The biggest kick in the privates for folks is that, you know, as a fan, you're supposed to like cherish the, like, the name on the front more than the names on the back, right? Yeah. Like, you're supposed to root for the home team and not be too invested on like which players are playing for you, because these players can move around and it's ultimately you're a fan of that home team. When the, like, loyalty shown by the owners is to something other than that name on the front, that is deeply disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, I just, if you, I don't recommend doing it because like it's an immense amount of sadness, but like just like reach out. First of all, reach out to Oakland fans first and foremost. If you know a fan, an A's fan somewhere, like just you get in touch. Because it really sucks. Like if you read some, you know, comments on some social media sites from some A's fans living in Oakland, it's like really, it's really harsh, you know. Mm-hmm. Like here's one from a fan in Europe. My wife and I fell in love because we are the only two baseball fans in my city. We've been saving up for years to be able to visit the U.S. and see a game in Oakland because it's our favorite team. This team got us through our time in her hospital, seeing it was going to be a moment of triumph. No more just seeing it on TV. Now what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And like, not even that, like that, that's not a fan that's just there. They're like, I, you know, reading comments from like, I remember reading one this morning from a fan who said he was a season ticket holder for him and his family. Like, what was he going to tell his wife and his kids when they got up, you know?
Yeah.
Like the team's going, we can't go anymore.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
A dark day. Really, and rough. You know, I want to take off my Twins cap and put on my tinfoil hat and just wonder about this Max Scherzer suspension. Because it's what's on the front page of the MLB.com right now. And this Oakland story is nowhere to be found on MLB.com's news page right now.
Yeah, big surprise. Big surprise. I'm not surprised. Rob wants this to go through. Big man Rob wants this to go through because, you know, it's big money for him. Big money for the rest of the owners. Got to get that sweet gambling money.
Yeah. From one piece of frustration to the other, then obviously Max Scherzer.
Yeah, let's talk about 10-game suspension. Scherzer. Ridiculous.
Which he won't appeal, in part because the appeal would be with the MLB and not with an independent arbitrator.
He said he's not appealing. I saw that he was and seeking some sort of other legal option to make sure that even if he lost, he'd still get paid through his suspension.
Okay, so conflicting reports. I saw this about 25 minutes before we started taping Thursday night.
That's probably more recent than what I saw.
This was Anthony DiComo that citing the club's ongoing rotation issues, Scherzer said he elected not to appeal because the best thing for the Mets is to accept the suspension. He's eligible to return to the mound May 1st. In the interim, he can remain with the team but cannot be in the dugout during games. But yeah, he apparently, because the,
I wasn't going to get an independent arbiter.
It would be not an independent arbitration. It would go to an MLB panel. But he indicated he negotiated a reduced fine. Now, this came, I don't know if you saw this, but so the ump that ejected him,
Phil Cousy, the scumbag that he is.
So Cousy, there have been three inspections under the new rules about sticky substances that have led to suspensions.
So
three.
So I'm going to lay a couple of pieces of conjecture openly out there, and I'm going to allow people to draw their own conclusions. And I would also like to state that anything I say in the next little bit does not reflect UMFM's thoughts or feelings upon the matter. The MLB is currently entering into a era of gambling being more accepted in the game. Phil Cousy has been on record in the past as being openly vocal about being unhappy about the league not allowing players to give merchandise to the umps. Most of this was, of course, well known to be sold on eBay, especially the signed stuff. So the umps used to make a nice little side coin piece. Phil Cousy has now ejected three of pretty important players in games with interesting lines at interesting times very early in those games for a rule that is up to interpretation and cannot really be argued after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to say that those are an interesting pile of coincidences.
That is an interesting pile of coincidences. It's also interesting that, like, there's been three inspections that have led to suspensions. It's Cousy each
all him.
Of these times.
All of them are him. Every single one has been him. Yes. Yep.
And yes. So the process in which this happened, there was an inspection. Then Scherzer went with an MLB representative to use rubbing alcohol to remove the rosin.
Yes. And so to lack confusion, he's not, so it's not that he used an illegal substance. It was that originally it was said that he had too much rosin on, which there's a rule for too much rosin, but it says it doesn't say what too much rosin
is. Yeah,
it's
super ambiguous.
That's just,
there's no measure.
Right. It's just up to the ump's interpretation, which is wild to me for something like that. Like, it's just baffling. And then, so they squeegee more or less this rosin off of him, and then he reapplies the rosin, and they eject him for applying the rosin in the dugout instead of on the mound, because with the new time clock, there isn't enough time for him to do it while he's on the mound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't pause the game for this to happen. It had to happen between innings, but he was supervised by an MLB representative, when he went back and used the rubbing alcohol
So the explanation that I'm given for the ejection and suspension wasn't that it was that they thought it was a different foreign substance or too much. It was that he specifically applied it in the dugout, which is against the rules, something you're not allowed to do.
So it seems like the argument around this is shifted, because initially,
yeah, it does seem
rationale,
to be a lot of,
right?
It does seem to be a lot of moving goalposts. I agree. Which
it
does
was it's too sticky. What is it? It's just rosin. And of course, there's no honestly, if this comes up, they need to have someone with a swab, and they need to test it or something, right? They need to develop some sort of rigor for these things, because I mean, this is more ambiguous than an ump strike zone.
Well, Max has been incredibly open for a long time about what his process is, and that's rosin and sunscreen.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of guys do. And it works. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it works. It's really tacky. But if you don't want it to be a thing, heck, just do what Japan does and make the balls stickier by nature,
attackier.
Yeah, just make it a tackier exterior. Ball. Who cares?
I did see that Scherzer asked, measure the spin rate.
Well, that was something I thought about too. If his spin rate's identical, it's to the same spin rate it's always been, then
he's you know, even if you don't have a thing in place to measure the tackiness, which I mean, conceivably you could create some sort of metrics for tackiness, but if you don't, you've got the cameras in place that can measure the spin rate right there. And then if it's a glaring difference, then you've got some sort of statistical evidence to suggest that there's an issue. But if it's the same or within a relatively reasonable range, then boo hoo.
Yeah. And this was something that I was contemplating today when thinking about this episode, is that the league started off red hot this year. The World Baseball Classic was fantastic. The rule changes have really sped up the game and made it far more enjoyable. They were getting things right as far as media and commercials were concerned. The best players were playing. They were doing really good things. There was no controversies. They were getting good games on big broadcasts. They had been managing this broadcasting situation well enough, considering where it's going. And then, within the past week and a half, they just couldn't let it ride, man. They couldn't let it ride. They had to step on a rake. They had to be Sideshow Bob and step on a rake.
It's the meme of the guy putting the stick in his own spokes as he's biking.
Yeah. You know, Eric Andre shooting Hannibal and then saying, you know, how could the fans and the players have done this? And it's just MLB had done it all along. And I just,
yeah, I follow Razzball on Twitter, and they had a great tweet. New York Mets starter Max Scherzer has been suspended 10 games for using the foreign substance rosin, which is provided by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I saw a whole Who's On First bit where it was like two guys talking back and forth with each other, being like, oh, well, I didn't know that rosin was illegal. I've been using rosin instead. It's like, no, that's rosin is illegal, but rosin is fine. But
rosin is fine, yes.
Yeah, for like, you know, a good 5 minutes. And it's just, the game is already confusing. Don't make it more so. You know, I shouldn't have to explain this to people. I shouldn't have to explain this to people. And the essential answer is just, well, Phil Cousy was being a jerk.
Yep. And
maybe doing something illicit.
It's funny because I went to look up, you know, I was double checking his pronunciation on his last name. And so I was looking for, you know, instances in which he's been on there. And of course it comes up from a video blog on Close Call Sports of him calling a fair ball on a roller versus the Cubs and Cards, where it was like clearly out in foul territory. It's just like, oh, just another like botched call from this dude.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of bad umps in my lifetime. You know, it's him and Angel Hernandez and CB Buckner and Joe West.
Yeah. Want to close on a positive note. Liam Hendricks. It's been announced. He's cancer's in remission. Cancer free. Obviously still a ways to go in terms of his recovery, but the White Sox closer announced on Instagram on Thursday that he's cancer free. And so I just want to tip my cap to Liam and his family.
Good piece. That is very nice. That is a nice piece of news. Can I sarcastically tip my cap?
Sure.
I am tipping my cap to Madison Bumgarner.
No.
Happy trails, my friend. I'll see you in Long Island.
There you go. With that, I guess what's on the pity party this afternoon?
I have a nice vibey mix of music, including some stuff from Carly Cosgrove. I've got a double set of tracks from Boys Club, some Clem, American Football, Rat Boys, and Nurture, among other things. It's quite a nice set. And I do recommend going back into the archives and listening to my interview from 2 weeks ago with a band from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, High Wind. Go check that out as well. Good.
That
band.
One's up on umfm.com. The show will be on at 1 p.m. And I will plug that on Free Range tonight, my live session and interview with Misha and the Spanx, who were in town earlier this week.
Oh, they're great. She's a wonderful interview. I've interviewed her before. She's a lovely human being.
Yeah, it was a good one and a great session. So that's at 6:30 tonight. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM. Dr. Rue will be next, and Democracy Now! At noon.
Strike three, you're out.